If you hadn't noticed, yeah, it's prep time for the season. Media day yesterday, practice started today. Probably know our next guest, kind enough to spend some time. Many ways to keep up, at Duck Football on Twitter, as the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. Always look forward to chatting up Rob Mosley. Hey, Rob, thanks for the time. How you doing?
Absolutely. I'm great. It's football season, so everything's going well. How are you?
Awesome. And while it's supposed to be all about Oregon football, over the many years I've known you, safe to say this is the best Dodgers team we've seen. We know you've enjoyed the NHL and even Golden State and hoops and a lot of success with Duck football. So how stoked are you to see how deep a run this LA team could make into October?
Last night was pretty fun to see that kid with the with the walk-off double in his, or whatever it was in his first major league at bat. It was a great at bat, too. He goes down 0-2 and then works the count full and then just kind of hacks at it to stay alive and hits that double. That was pretty fun to see. I'm holding out, reserving judgment until the playoffs, obviously, but this Yu Darvish trade could be a game-changer in terms of setting him up for a playoff run. So I do like that. Unless anyone think I'm spoiled too rotten, I am a 49er fan. So reality will come crashing down once the NFL season starts.
Ah, the counterpunch. But for now, we can enjoy Kyle Farmer and the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
All right. So one of the videos you posted on Twitter today, Taj Griffin, who looks like he's out there running and cutting, knee injury cost him a chunk of last year, very productive in 2015. I mean, he came here as a very elite all-purpose recruit. So how's he looking, and what's the logic say his role will be?
I think clearly based on where he was at the end of last season coming off the knee injury, just to see him out there running around is a good sign. I know Willie Taggart's really excited about his potential in this offense and the kind of weapon he can be, so I don't know where exactly he's at medically, but the way Coach Taggart's talking about him, they clearly see him as a guy who's going to be a weapon this year and soon, so I think that's a really good sign. When a guy's coming back from a serious surgery, you always anticipate the possibility of hiccups along the way, but he's just so dynamic. I mean, his change of direction reminds you of DeAnthony Thomas a little bit. He gets to top speed so quickly and then can change direction without seeming to lose a step. So I think one of the things I'm really going to be watching in the first few weeks of the season is, with the lack of numbers, with some of the departures at receiver and then the loss of the top three tight ends from last year, I mean, there's clearly a ton of talent available at running back. I mean, you've got Griffin and Tony Brooks-James and Kenai Benoit and Royce Freeman returning.
Right.
And then the three freshmen they added this morning, they all looked apart. And that's obviously a position where, just based on pure athleticism, you can have an impact early. So they've got a lot of weapons at the running back position. So it really wouldn't surprise me to see three of those guys sometimes on the field at the same time. And Taj is one of those guys who his hands are good enough that he could play a slot role if you needed to use him that way. So I would certainly expect him, maybe a Darian Felix, maybe one or two of those other guys to be used in multiple ways to try to get all the talent on the field.
One of the things that fascinates me, and I know Coach Taggart talked about how excited he was about this offensive line, and we know the names who emerged last year and the return of Tyler Crosby, but there's a trio of seniors who saw their roles diminished, like Jake Pizarcik, Evan Voller, and Doug Brenner. So I'm kind of curious, are they in the mix to be in the rotation? How would you describe their status?
Yeah, definitely. I think the key for that, those guys as a group was last spring, they all were with the first unit. And then that redshirt freshman class just really stepped up and asserted itself. I think a lot of us thought Jake Hansen was going to do that last year, but Shane Lemieux, Calvin Throckmorton, those guys really stepped up. And I think developed into starting caliber guys maybe a year earlier than some of us, certainly someone like myself, anticipated. And that was, unfortunately, at the senior class took it on the chin from those guys, and so they went into backup roles. But there's one spot open right now with Cameron Hunt leaving, and Jake Pisarczyk was in that right guard spot for most of today, but Evan Voller was with the first group to start out, and then Doug Brenner played a lot in that spot in the spring. So I think there's still time and there's still a position for those guys to carve out a starting role as a senior. Unfortunately, it looks like it'll only be one of them right now.
Right.
But there is a big carrot hanging out there that those guys are competing for this preseason.
Talking Duck football with Rob Mosley. Early in camp, it's always fun to hear new names. Let's get to a guy who I believe went to the same high school as Marcus Mariota, listed as a linebacker. Thanks to YouTube and KOHN-TV, I learned how to pronounce Isaac Slade Maltaltia. I think you posted about him today. What did he do out there? And in general, what have you learned about him?
He had two interceptions during the 7-on-7 period during the practice portion for the newcomers this morning that kind of kicked off the day. And really good. He's a big body. He's got a big frame. He looks like he's got the kind of body that he can take off a couple pounds of bad weight and then put on a bunch of good weight because he's got a really big frame. But both his interceptions, I mean, it was 7-on-7, so there weren't linemen in his way from both sides of the ball. But he turned up field and tried to take it to the house, and he was really moving. So he's got some athleticism, obviously, too. Inside linebacker is an interesting spot because there's A.J. Hodgkins, who played quite a bit last year, and I think kind of had a sort of a transitionary year from junior college. Obviously, Troy Dye, who's transitioning into that position, but I think is close to a sure thing, even despite the position change. I mean, I think he's just a guy the coaches have a ton of confidence right now. Jimmy Swain is back inside this month after playing outside linebacker in the spring. And then for scholarship guys, that's about it. So Kalana Pelu and Blake Rugrath are walk-ons who are also in the mix there. And I think those are guys who, at least in practice, have shown the coaches that they can be dependable, you know, depth guys, if nothing else. But, you know, there may be an opening for one or both of the freshmen in inside linebackers to step up, and Slade Maltaltia today looked like a guy who, you know, they need playmakers on this defense. He looked like a playmaker today. So if he keeps that up, you know, maybe we'll be hearing more about him sooner rather than later.
Let's bounce to the other side of the ball. With Darren Carrington gone, like Coach Taggart said yesterday, some guys might get an opportunity to play faster than they thought. And you tweeted out, actually, that Coach was working with his slot guys today. I think we know Nelson will be the constant. You mentioned possibly Griffin. But a couple of names, Darian McNeil, who came here from Florida, Casey Eugenio, who walked on 3 years ago. So is this one of the competitions where you would say playing time pretty wide open? And what did you notice about those guys in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at those three guys, I mean, Nelson's definitely the sure thing. And so, you know, from that group, I'd expect him to be on the field the most. Darian McNeil is a guy who showed some flashes in the spring. And, you know, he's just a jitterbug out there. He's real quick. I think the real question marks are at the outside spots, really, though. You know, Dylan Mitchell, I think, is somebody that internally there's a lot of confidence in. But, you know, until he starts making some plays and games in the fall, you know, certainly around the league isn't going to be that much of a known commodity yet. Malik Lovett, you know, works his tail off and has some potential as a playmaker. Alex Ofadle, once he gets back all the way healthy, can be a guy potentially too. But I think, you know, you got some true freshman outside receiver types, Daywood Davis, Johnny Johnson, that I think impressed their teammates in the summer. And Davis in particular can really fly. Got a big, lanky frame. And he's somebody I would look, you know, once the new guys get integrated with the team here in a couple days, as camp progresses, I'll be really interested to see how particularly those outside receivers factor into the depth chart.
Rob, they've had a whole few hours of practice. I need definitive depth chart answers. Talk with Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com. So a year ago, the logic was Dakota Prukop wasn't coming here to back up. Then he was. Then this year, Travis Johnson was going to push Herbert. Then he wasn't. So now, I mean, we know what the constant is, but the variables, who are the names we should be looking for to be the backup to Justin Herbert?
Well, I think that depends a lot on the freshman name there is Braxton Burmeister.
Right.
How much he developed over the course of this month. I mean, Taylor Alley's played some football. You know, there were times, I guess it would have been when Vernon Adams was injured a couple years ago when, you know, he was playing quite a bit. And so, you know, obviously he wasn't, you know, five-star recruit, anything like that. but he's been around enough, practiced enough, and played enough in games that I think, you know, he'd be a safe pick if something happened to Herbert. Now, can Burmeister play himself in a position where he's better than a safe pick, where, you know, he really, his ceiling obviously is high, but right now, given his youth, his floor is pretty low as well. You just expect inconsistencies from a guy that young. But if he can shore up some things and develop some consistency, you know, perhaps he can assuage some of those concerns. But the bottom line is Herbert's the quarterback of this team. I think any team in the country can't afford to lose its starting quarterback without really feeling it. Oregon's no different. And I don't know that you know, Oregon's even dramatically different than anybody else in that regard. You know, well, a key to having a great season, no matter who you are, is keeping your quarterback healthy. And the Ducks certainly need to do that in Herbert's case.
Couple general questions to wrap. You know, I've covered and spoken with all the coaches here since Rich Brooks, and all consummate pros, had some amazing success, 100% committed to their jobs. I just see Willie Taggart's kind of have a unique element. I don't know if it's embracing social media, maybe because he's only 40. He just seems to have this joy of the game or joy of the job that maybe not all have been willing to wear on their sleeve. Does that make sense?
Certainly, yeah. You know, I think the bottom line with Coach Taggart is, if you're a head football coach, everything you do is recruiting. Every move you make, every personal appearance you make, every interview you give, you are helping recruit fans, but also even more importantly, in some cases, future prospects to your program. And I think he's just always is incredibly aware of wanting to make sure he comes across as fun and open and welcoming and hip and a guy that players would want to play for. Do I think a lot of it is natural? Absolutely. I think he's just a naturally charismatic guy too, but I just think he's hyper aware that, hey, the image you put forth, you know, and particularly in this day and age with how much media attention is on a job like this, the spotlight's always on you, and recruits are going to notice. And I just think that's obviously a huge priority for this staff. I mean, we saw the big recruiting showcase they had this past weekend. Looks like it paid dividends with some verbal commitments from some players. You know, they're just not messing around when it comes to recruiting. It's a huge priority, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for these guys. And that starts with the head coach.
No, it's really noticeable. All right, and lastly, needless to say, the defense has to get better. They're back to the 3-4. Jim Leavitt takes over, and I don't know if he slept since he got hired.
caffeine he takes in, drinking all the soda. I don't know how he falls asleep.
I don't understand it. And obviously, I'll ask you again before the season starts, but new staff, ton of enthusiasm. What's reasonable? I mean, let's face it, it's harsh, but they were atrocious last year.
Right.
And also in concert, if the offense is better, it's less heat on the defense. But improvement-wise, what right now seems reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a team that gave up 42 points a game, was, you know, next to last nationally in, you know, some of the major defensive categories. But, you know, and I agree with you. I think the offense is going to be better, and so it's not like this needs to be an all-world defense yet, and it's not going to be. I mean, that's too much to ask. But, yeah, I mean, you'd really like to see some significant jumps in the national rankings. You know, I just think, you know, if this is a defense, if this is an overgeneralization, but if you can give up 32 points a game instead of 42 points a game, that's going to make a dramatic impact. Yep. On the win-loss record of this team, particularly, again, given how explosive this offense should be if everyone stays healthy and performs to what we think their potential is. So, I mean, again, 32 points a game, that doesn't mean you're in a great elite defense.
But, yeah.
You know, you don't have to be just yet. And I got to say, there's a lot of confidence amongst these guys they can turn around, and there's a lot of concern around the league. Having been down at Pac-12 Media Day, talking to some people, talking to some folks who were around Colorado when Coach Leavitt was there and just saw the impact he had on them. I mean, they were really bummed to lose him, and they really have confidence that he can get things turned around here just like he did there. So, the league's on notice that this defense is going to get better. You know, to your point, you know, how immediate is that going to be? I don't know if it's going to be night and day, but you know, I do expect, you know, I think Troy Dye is in a great position to really have an impact on the inside. I think Henry Mondu, you know, is going to be a really steadying presence on that line. And Jordan Scott's a guy with a lot of potential too. So, and with some of the veterans back on in the secondary, you'd expect as seniors them to tighten up their games a little bit. So, you know, there's certainly a reason for optimism. And, you know, what is this time of year about, if nothing else, than optimism and hoping for the best over the next few months?
Awesome. Great stuff as always, Rob. Again, keep up with him at Duck Football on Twitter. And, of course, GoDucks.com as the editor-in-chief. Rob, always appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime, and thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.